This is a story about friendship and the emotional power of music. Johannes Brahms had a circle of good friends, among them the writer Klaus Grote, whose poems Brahms set, poems like this one, Regenlied, or The Rain Song, looking back as it does to younger days. Well known is Brahms' deep and long-standing friendship with the Schumanns, composer Robert and pianist Clara. And when Brahms set about writing a violin sonata at the time of the loss of a son by the Schumanns, the Grote poem he drew on became much more than a technical structural device to develop this piece. As always, Brahms trusted the insights of his dear friend Clara into his music, and when he sent her the manuscript of the sonata, she, of course, could recognize the ways Brahms developed the musical materials in this work, how this phrase leads to that, the way the harmonies are developed, and so forth. And yet Clara finally admitted to Brahms that words were failing her in trying to come to terms with the profound way this sonata, especially the third movement, was affecting her. After living with this piece, studying it, playing it, she found it so deep and consoling that she wrote in a letter to Brahms that she would truly want this music to accompany her on her passage from this life into the beyond. That we learn from Brahms Among Friends by Paul Berry, about mature artists, mature human beings, and friends relating to the emotional power of music. We're about to meet two young, fresh musicians who are friends, who are well aware of the emotional power of music, and who are wrestling with developing the technique and the confidence to explore the gifts that Brahms and Grieg and others have given us in their composing lives. Emma Dong, Zhiyi Dong, was born in Beijing in China. She began to play music at the age of 4. She has continued her music studies both as a violinist and a vocalist. She graduated from Wyoming Seminary College Preparatory School in Kingston in the Wilkes-Barre area in May of 2016. During the 2015-2016 academic year, Emma served as the concertmaster of the Pennsylvania Music Education Association District 9 and Region 4 Orchestra Festivals. She's also the winner of the 2016 Bloomsburg University Classical Young Artist Competition, and she participated in the winner's recording recital here at WVIA. Emma is currently a freshman at the Aaron Copland School of Music at Queen's College, where she majors in violin performance. She studies with Professor Daniel Phillips. Sienna Marie Tebron is a 2015 Wyoming Seminary graduate, and she is a sophomore piano performance major at the University of Maryland. She began taking piano lessons at the age of 7, and she has continued her studies for the past 12 years. These years were spent studying with Ms. Pamela Carroll, Dr. Cleveland Page, and currently Dr. Mikhail Volchuk. Through participation in piano competitions, Sienna was invited to play at Carnegie Hall 4 times. She received 3rd place in the 2013 American Protégé Piano and Strings Competition. She won 1st place in the 2013 Garcia Festival Sonata Division, 1st place in the 2012 and 2014 Northeastern Pennsylvania Philharmonic Piano Competitions, as well as 1st place in the 2012 and 2014 Ann Leva Piano Competitions. Dong and Sienna Tebron will return to Wyoming Seminary. They will offer a piano-violin recital Sunday, January 8th. The recital will be open to the public and donations will be accepted. Emma and Sienna paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk about the recital and their musical friendship.
We both came to Wyoming Seminary for the same reason, that was for the music. I came to the U.S. when I was 15, I think, and I chose Wyoming Seminary. That was the only school that I chose because I came to the Performing Arts Institute two summers, actually, before I decided to come to school here. And I thought it was pretty much a new world for me when I was here making music with students at my age and then with great teachers. They're very inspiring and they're mostly nice and friendly, and it just really encouraged me a lot. And then it got me to think what music is for me, especially when I was home. My parents are both scientists, so it has not been something that was even taken into consideration, majoring in music. But after that, we really thought about it, and then my mom finally agreed that we're gonna see what happens when I come here. So I came to Wyoming Seminary for the music. I know this place is gonna help me a lot. I met some of the faculty here during the summer, and I know what they can provide me. And it was definitely one of the best choices I've made.
How about you? What drew you to Wyoming Seminary? How did you think you grew musically?
Initially, before I was at Wyoming Seminary, I was at Myers High School. And most of my siblings had gone to Myers High School. So I was under the impression, you know, I need to follow in their footsteps. I need to continue, you know, have this be my alma mater. But one of the things that I recognized is that I needed to grow musically somehow. I wanted to be able to take my talents with piano and be able to use it in school. So often I would get stuff in the mail from Wyoming Seminary and I'd see it and I'd be like, oh, no, I'm not going to go there. But then at one point I was just like, you know what? This is what I need. This is going to, you know, help move me forward and get me ready to pursue this career that I have set my eyes on. So I went to Wyoming Seminary. I was able to get in. And I really do appreciate the experiences I was able to have there. Not only was I able to play in piano trios with Emma and then also with a cellist named Ceylon, but I was also able to play violin, I was able to sing, I was able to participate in all the performing arts with, may it be dance, may it be, you know, theater. And just being so well-rounded and being able to be in an atmosphere where you have an educational system that puts some emphasis on the arts, I think is so important, because we see so often that, you know, arts are being threatened to be taken out, and we see kids not really putting their all into it. But to just show that you can be a musician and you will have educational leaders who will instill in you, like, this is okay, like, this is a good career choice. If this is what you want to do, you can do it if you set your mind to it. I think that's great, and I think I can thank Wyoming Seminary for that.
Yeah, not even just encouraging the career, is encouraging it as something that you can do. It doesn't matter what you want to do for your life, but it's something that everybody can be a part of. And it's not all about your playing. You get different things to do. Like me as a violinist, I was in the pit for the musicals, and it was totally a different kind of experience, but it's good to have. And also I was in the choir and the Magical Singers, And it's just different kinds of things that you can do as a musician.
And it all informs whatever you encounter. Having been able to sing at SEM, and then you come to this Brahms piece, and you realize that there's a song element of the piece.
Yeah, I picked the Brahms because I really like it. The first time I heard of this piece was my teacher's performance. I thought it was a really beautiful piece, the Brahms First Violin Sonata. And it's also known as the Rain Sonata because the third movement is directly quoted from Brahms' song Regentlied. And the melody in Regentlied is exactly the melody in the third movement. The opening of the third movement is directly quoted from that song. And even the motif in the third movement is used in the first movement and also the second movement, this pickup feeling to the downbeat. Is everywhere through this whole piece.
So it's really organic.
Yeah, you can hear it. As a listener, when I first listened to the piece, you know that's the melody when it happens. And even though it's not exactly like that, but there's the feeling in there.
What was so exciting when you all were doing the chamber music at Wyoming Seminary, the piano trios, for example?
I think it definitely did teach us how to listen to other people. It opened us up to new repertoire, for sure. It helped build friendships.
Yeah, one of the things I think is really important that chamber music, it is, of course, about playing together, making music, but it's also about working together just as people and colleagues. And the first piece that we played was Beethoven, C minor, piano trio. I remember the first rehearsal. We played it, and I remember clearly Mrs. Vida looked at us and said, okay, it's right, but it's not Beethoven. Which I think was very important to me. That's why I still remember it, is that when you're playing with a group, you all have different interpretation of the music, and it's obviously that it's important to work on it as a group, whereas everybody might sound fine individually, but then when you come together, it's just something else. So that was pretty much the thing that got me to think about chamber music, not just something that we're all sitting there and playing our parts, but it's also just we should sound like we're glued together. And I just thought of something when she was talking about friendship. When we were doing the Beethoven, I injured my wrist, and it was a couple of weeks before the performance. I was not going to be able to play because my wrist, and I was offering that maybe somebody could sub and then do the performance so they can perform it at chapel because that was our original idea. And they both refused to play with anyone else, which I thought was really heartwarming.
Aww.
So, yeah. And also the cellist that we were playing with, she was my roommate. During that week, every night she comes back and she'd be talking about how she's definitely not going to play with another violinist. It's either we play it together or we just don't play it. So, which I was always really thankful for.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you've stayed in touch then since you've gone to Maryland and you've gone to New York in friendship terms, but you've wanted to do this recital because?
There are a couple reasons for that. First of all, I don't know about her, but we were always hanging out together when we were in high school, go to lunch and talk about different things and vent about things. I've seen her really unhappy and also really happy. And she has seen me both ways too. So, and we've played together, and I know that she's serious about music just the way I am. And then we want to play together. Yeah, there's that. And also, this concert is going to be a fundraising event for the music department for the same reason that we were talking about before, that we have these wonderful teachers who encourage music and they believe in the importance of music education. So I think as two of the people who gained the most out of the department, it's really important that we give back to the school and then just, as we said on our advertisement paragraph on Facebook, to keep music flourishing at our alma mater.
So then you had to decide, of course, what should we do?
That was tough.
I think it was just a matter of we knew we didn't want it to be too long. I think it'd be good for us to have two sonatas at least, two pieces together, and then two solo works.
Yes.
And that worked out pretty well. With the sonatas, basically we just went hunting for ones that we like. I think, Emma, you said you heard the piece before.
Yeah.
I just went hunting on YouTube. I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted because I really like very dramatic pieces. I like minor pieces. I like tearing at heartstrings. That's really fun for me. And so I was going to look for a piece that, you know, had that. And I think the Grieg really encompassed my wants.
Now you're laughing about that.
I know her so well in that sense that when she's composing, when we were composing in our classes, she'd always be talking to me about how frustrated she is because it's not in a minor key. Or when she's playing a piece and like everything has to be in minor. That was also part of our conditions about playing chamber music together. It has to be in minor key. So I was very scared when I showed her to Brahms because it's in G major. But she liked it. She listened to the first movement. And
it just takes me some time to...
Yeah, the melody has... It has to have a melody that sticks to her mind. I mean, to my mind, too.
Yeah.
And I personally like minor pieces, too. It's just more dramatic, in a sense. So it wasn't that hard when we had to choose. It was pretty much I picked the Brahms, she picked the Grieg. And then we listened to the pieces, and we liked it.
And then Balakirev, do you have a Russian piano teacher?
I do. Actually, Balakirev was introduced to me when I was at the Philadelphia International Music Festival. I was working as a student manager, and one of the students there played Islami, which is a very huge piece. And I'm like, who is this composer? Like, this sounds really great. So I just went hunting, some sleuthing, I guess, on Balakirev, and I found the Scherzo in B flat minor. And I'm like, this is a really nice piece. I'm going to learn it. And so I did. That's basically how it goes with me.
We know Paganini and we know Kreisler. Yeah. These are virtuosos from the 19th century. And why did you choose the piece that you did by Kreisler?
Kreisler, Preludium and Allegro. First of all, I just really love the piece. And I've actually learned it, quote, learned it before, in a sense that I just really like the piece. And then I learned it for a month. I probably learned all of the notes. But at that time, it was very difficult for me in a sense that the piece itself is not rhythmically interesting. So I found it so hard for me to make it interesting that I gave up on learning the piece. But it's such a nice piece, and it's really in the standard violin repertoire that I feel like I should learn. And then I talked to Professor Phillips, and then he also suggested this piece. And it's a good piece. Kreisler himself, the violinist, is a very good violinist. And then his sound has a distinguished color, though. When you hear it, you know it's Kreisler. And I really like the way he plays. And there's a Kreisler recording of the Grieg Sonata that I absolutely love. That was my favorite recording of the Grieg Sonata. So that's how I picked the piece. And it's also a really good piece for the audience. It's very easily accepted. There's a lot of fun in there if the performer makes it fun, so I hope that will happen.
You have had an ambivalent relationship with it, and you're going to be the advocate for it, as you suggested that Daniel Phillips has said. As long as you advocate on behalf of the music and it makes sense to you, then we will be there with you.
You need to have that emotion in there, because if you don't, your audience is not getting the message. Your audience is not paying attention. And our goal, I think, is to make sure when people come in there, they leave feeling different than when they came. They need to feel maybe happy. They need to feel like all their burdens were just washed off of them. Like, they need to feel very calm. I'd never want to have an audience member in there just looking at me and saying, oh, okay, she can do it technically, but what is she trying to say? And I think that's really important.
Yeah, you agree that that's the biggest difference between us in high school, probably?
Yeah, I'm more emotional.
She's very emotional. I think I was too afraid of playing things wrong. So emotion, being musical has always been my biggest challenge. And my farewell recital, which is the last recital for SEM graduates, I play the Tsigan by Ravel. And I mean, the piece opens with a big cadenza that's literally around 3 minutes long by the violin. That piece is about making a lot of sound. I don't make a lot of sound usually because I'm just really afraid of playing things wrong. And then I think that was all of my learning before I came to the States. It's like playing things right. It's all about intonation. It's all about rhythm has to be there. And it has got to a point where Mr. Vida always says, it's a box. I'm in a box. I'm Professor Phillips. Somehow uses a different word but means the same thing, that you sound square, which is the same thing as a box. So it has got to a point where it's hard for me to break through that wall, that everything has to be precise before I can get musical about anything. It's still really difficult for me, but I'm starting to get the feeling that it's something it has to come together with the music. You can't play anything. Well, that's why I picked the Chrysler, because it's rhythmically not that challenging. It's either quarter notes or 16th notes, and it's for pretty much the whole thing. And note-wise, it's not that technically difficult for me after learning the Ravel and the concertos and things. But that was musically very challenging, because the first time I played it for Professor Phillips, even I could tell that there's really not much going on in the music. It's all the right notes and it's the right rhythm. Like, how can you possibly play a wrong rhythm in the Chrysler? So that's the biggest challenge. It still is, but I think I'm working on it. And then also just playing the Brahms really helps with that, because Brahms, it's all about the singing. It has lyrics in there originally, so if you want to deliver that, you can't just play it like square box. You have to really get into it.
I think in that sense, we kind of balance each other out. I don't have like the most, you know, wonderful technique in the world, but I can sell something to you pretty well, if I do say so myself. And, you know, with emotion and technique together, that's kind of really what you need. So I think that makes us a good pair.
Yeah.
Because you're friends, you're open enough to take those risks to allow each of you to grow in that way. When we hear the name Edvard Grieg, we think about so often the folk-inspired music that he created. Is there anything folk-inflected in this sonata? Is there any sense of that?
I'm not getting it too much. To me, it reminds me of Beethoven's Tempest in a sense. This was actually his third violin sonata, Grieg. It's in a group of three. And he, I think, described it as sort of like a sort of an autobiography. The third one was more so a realization of happiness, in a sense. But the problem is that, you know, it's in C minor, and the beginning is so, like, jerking. It's so tumultuous to me. And I don't know, but it's like a storm. Like,
yeah.
You don't expect it, especially because when you listen to the other sonatas, they're in major keys. And this one is in minor. But I think that the second movement of this one is particularly really beautiful. It starts off with a piano solo. Shout out to pianists. But I would say that that's almost like the clearing. Yes, the clearing.
The sun comes out.
And it's major. It starts off major. And I think in that movement also is when we see the actually like almost not a conversation, but just a better connect between the piano and the violin. Whereas I play the melody, then she plays something. I play something, she plays something. So it's really a lot of echoing. And I would say in that sense, that could also make the piece a little bit difficult, because, you know, you want to be able to channel and be able to replicate what the other person is doing so that it connects. You don't want one person playing this one way and then someone playing it a completely different way, like two different interpretations. You want to be on the same page. I would say that the piece isn't that difficult, but in that sense, in terms of everyone knowing like how to interpret it, that's where there could be some challenges. But we have a lot of time to work on that, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, especially when she plays the theme in the second movement, it's such an attractive melody that it just grabs your heart immediately. And then the violin comes in, and if the violin plays it completely differently, it just doesn't sound like the same thing anymore. It's a different color instrument, obviously, and that's why the melody is repeated in the violin again with the chords underneath. It's different
like
feeling.
A blanket.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we figured that out this morning that we should really talk about that.
Where do we wind up? So we're storm, there's clearing, and then how does the piece end?
In the third movement, I would say the storm is done at this point, but it's more so triumph. Like, I just made it. It's a little funny to me at times. There's one section of the piece where the piano is playing the main motif, but it sounds kind of threatening to me. And after that section, you have a bunch of diminished chords kind of going back and forth between each other. But I think maybe that's supposed to be a almost homage to the first movement, as in, this is what I was through, but I was triumphant over it. I made it. And I think that, you know, that kind of channels back to the autobiography kind of sentiment that Grieg was trying to create with this sonata and all three sonatas in general.
And we get that sense, don't we, in the Brahms, that there's echoes, as you were suggesting to us, Emma, throughout the entire sonata.
I feel like the Brahms, to me, it sounds like after storm. Even the very opening is very quiet, is very calm, and this G major chord that's really low in the piano register, and it just gives you a grounded feeling. And it's called Rain Sonata because the song itself, and the third movement is rhythmically more active than the first two movements, mm-hmm. and especially with a smooth melody on top with the bumps underneath, and it kind of feels like, you know, the rain drops and it drops on the ground, and I mean, it's splash obviously, but it's crisp, and then it repeats in the violin when the piano has a smooth melody, and it ends again really calmly. Like all three movements, except for the first movement, ends really calmly, so kind of like after storm, after rain, when the rainbow comes out.
But it does help, doesn't it, to have images like that, whether we know that or not, for you as you're grappling with what this means in an emotional way.
Images definitely help to help you interpret. I know my teacher now, oftentimes if I'm playing something, he'll give me like things to imagine, maybe stories to imagine while I'm playing, and I'm like, now this makes sense as to how I'm supposed to be playing this. And I think that's really great to have two different forms of arts able to work with each other to help create one. And I think that really explains why you often have composers who will say this piece was inspired by this artwork mm-hmm. or this poem or something like that. It's nice to see how all of the different forms of arts can sort of work together.
Why do you spend 5 hours a day in the practice room? Why are you making your lives in music?
I would say I'm not a very, talkative person. I don't wear my emotions on my sleeves all the times. And sometimes I may come across too strong, or people might not know how I'm trying to come across, at least with words or with just facial expressions. But with music, I feel like I'm now able to be vulnerable and not feel like self-conscious about it. Like, I'm saying, this is who I am, this is me. And like when I'm playing, I'm not even playing for myself. I'm more so playing for others. I think it's what can they take away from it. I mean, if I want to play for myself, then what's the point of, you know, performing? I can just stay in the practice room all day. But, you know, the point is to get out there and to expose people to this music. And I think, you know, it's a passion of mine. So my thing is, if you have kids that see music or see an instrument, it's important that they're put in an environment that they have people around them telling them, okay, you can pursue this. No, it's not like you're not going to be able to make anything out of it. I think a lot of the things that I dealt with when I was at Myers was that a lot of people were just saying, what are you going to do? At that point, I already knew, okay, I want to play piano, I want to perform. Okay, but what else are you going to do? Like, how are you going to support yourself? And like, I'll find a way. Like the important yeah. thing is to make sure, like, whatever you're doing something that you love. Like, I would rather do something that I love and not make a whole bunch of money than do something that I hate and make a whole bunch of money, because it's about happiness. It's about how can you give back to other people? How can you be an addition to society?
Pianist Sienna Tebron and violinist Zhiyi Emma Dong, graduates of Wyoming Seminary in Kingston, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. They will present a special recital to benefit the SEM Music Department, and that will be Sunday, January 8th at 2 in the afternoon in the new Kirby Center for Creative Arts, 260 North Sprigg Avenue in Kingston. A free will offering will be taken. The program will feature music by Fritz Kreisler, Johannes Brahms, Balakirev, Mili Balakirev, and Edvard Grieg. A chamber recital on Sunday, January 8th at 2 in the afternoon at the Kirby Center for Creative Arts, 260 North Sprague Avenue, on the campus of Wyoming Seminary in Kingston. For more information on the web, wyomingseminary.org, wyomingseminary.org. www.wyomingseminary.org.